At the top of our program, by 2026, state officials want to see Michigan as one of the top performers in education. Department of Education leaders say that a key part of reaching that goal is reducing the impact of high risk factors that lead to students falling behind or dropping out. New guidelines from the State Board of Education are aimed at helping schools address those risk factors for LGBTQ students. They range from supporting gay-straight alliance clubs to letting transgender students use the restroom that matches their gender identity. But the recommendations have created a backlash from Republican lawmakers and some parents. State House Speaker Kevin Cotter says the board didn't alert parents and the public to the proposed guidelines, and other Republicans have said some of the policies would compromise student safety and privacy. Advocates, on the other hand, say that the guidelines are about protecting the safety and privacy of LGBTQ students. The draft guidelines have generated over 5,000 online comments as of this morning. Now, the State Board of Education has announced it will extend the public comment period for at least an extra 30 days. Here to give us a perspective on both sides of the issue, Executive Director for Equality Michigan, Stephanie White. Steph, welcome.
Hey, hi, Mark.
And we're also joined by on the phone by Republican State Representative and member of the House Education Committee, Tim Kelly. Tim, welcome to Current State.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for inviting me.
Stephanie, the president of the State Board of Education, John Austin, has said this is about creating a safe learning environment for LGBTQ students. Why do you think these guidelines are the way to do that?
Well, Mark, we know that from the Michigan Youth Risk Assessment Behavior Study that LGBT students are 2.5 times more likely to be threatened with a weapon at school, to feel unsafe. And I think anything that our schools do to send a signal that all students are welcome and have the right to an education and should be respected for who they are, those kinds of measures set the right tone in our schools. And we know from schools around the country and around Michigan who have already adopted policies like these that it does make students safer.
Tim Kelly, you and other Republicans have raised concerns about student privacy and safety, among others. Tell us why you think broadly. Why do you think these recommendations are misguided?
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank the State Board for continuing or expanding their time for comment. I think that they're going to get an earful, and rightly so. You know, you opened up this as this is part of the 10 and 10 effort by the State Board, and let me say that that's a stretch to think that doing what we can to accommodate LGBTQ students is going to raise student achievement in Michigan. But having said that, I think we want to have a welcoming environment for all students, but, you know, when you try and, you know, take care of a small percentage of people at the expense of a larger majority, I think you got big problems.
Now, these are voluntary guidelines, and the Department of Education has said that schools were asking for guidance on navigating LGBTQ issues. If individual schools can still make their own choices on these policies, why is having the state provide guidelines still a problem?
Well, again, if they want to offer the guidelines, fine, but I think that they're going to find that they need to be rewritten pretty substantially. When you obfuscate what's going on in the school between parent and student, you're going to have big problems. This isn't a social petri dish. You know, schools aren't social petri dishes for kids to explore their sexuality. They're there to learn, and I think that the State Board of Education ought to be more concerned about our falling behind the nation as far as student achievement than worrying about this kind of stuff.
I agree. Our schools are definitely places where we need to be focused on learning. And I think when we talk to students and we talk to teachers and administrators, both here in Michigan and around the country, we got to remove these kinds of barriers that prevent kids from showing up to school, from being their full selves and focusing on the work. If you talk to schools and teachers where they allow children to designate their own nickname, which is the way they do it in the Ann Arbor schools, the kids will just come in and say, hey, I want you to call me Steph. And the teacher says, fine, end of issue. Let's go back to focusing on the education. Those kids actually show up to school. They do a much better job of learning. So, in fact, there's a lot of proof already out there. There's no need to speculate on what this will or won't do. We know from fact and experience that these kinds of policies actually do raise achievements and protect all the students.
Stephanie, let me continue with you. The part of these guidelines that's generating the most controversy are the ones dealing with restroom and locker room access for transgender students.
Right.
Now, if the recommendations were pursued by a middle school, let's say, which appears to be possible, you've got a scenario where a 12-year-old with the body of a boy could use the girl's restroom.
Correct.
Now, the discussion for locker rooms seems to be a little bit different. We'll get to that in a minute. How do you feel about that specific bathroom scenario?
I mean, I think every person deserves a right to privacy for their medical information, for their medical history, and for any procedures that have or haven't happened to their body. That's just a basic principle that we have for respecting privacy in our country, and this is no different. Children, transgender people may or may not go through various medical interventions, but that's their privacy. Our gender, one thing that I think is important for people to understand is that our gender is not determined by necessarily by our chromosomes. And that's something that affects, you know, like people know, a small percentage of the population. However, for those kids, they do exist. They do have a right to go to school and to be safe.
We're going to disrupt the bathroom habits of first and second graders over some confusion by some.
It doesn't disrupt.
No, that's not what this would be.
There's no disruption. I mean, I'll just say the proof is in the pudding. When kids transition and are accepted for who they are in school.
What proof do you have?
Well, there's plenty of examples here in Michigan and around the country of schools that have adopted
these
policies.
This is a battle that has not been won in public court.
Let Steph finish making her point, Tim. Then you'll have the floor.
All right.
So there are plenty of schools in which kids transition, and it's very it can be very confusing for people at first, and people have questions. And I understand that new things are hard for people to accept. But if we really focus on what is in the best interest of the children, then we will do these strategies that are in the best interest of the children that protect everyone and let everybody go back to education.
Tim Kelly, what do you make of all
that? Well, I think it's hogwash. I mean, this is just absolutely absurd. This is an argument that has not been won in the court of public opinion. And to suggest that it has is terribly erroneous. This has to be discussed and for a much longer period than a couple weeks at a state board level and all of a sudden adopted. Now, I can understand if you have single toilet bathrooms that a unisex or family or something like that can be utilized. But when you talk about stalled facilities that are going to be transgendered is patently absurd at this point. Like I said, you have not won this argument in public court.
Representative Tim Kelly is a member of the Michigan House's Education Committee. We're talking about proposed guidelines on LGBTQ students drafted by the State Board of Education. We're also joined by Executive Director of Equality Michigan, Stephanie White. Let me follow up on a point of Tim Kelly's here. Could it be argued that these scenarios are going to require more finesse and more sensitivity to implement than 12-year-olds and 13-year-old students have, and maybe even teachers and administrators?
Well, definitely we need a lot of education and training and guidance for people to be able to implement wisely the policies that make our schools open and safe for all students. And that's exactly what the State Board of Education is doing with these guidelines. I think that, you know, this is a natural next step from our anti-bullying law that was passed in 2011 and signed by our governor that says we need to have schools that respect all students, period. Now, once you pass a law like that, you need to provide people with training and guidance on how to really implement it. And our schools have been asking for these kinds of guidelines. And my organization is also available to provide more training and input. There are a lot of resources out there. I should also mention that the Department of Education at the federal level, the Office of Civil Rights, has been very clear on this point. They're that transgender students are protected from discrimination under Title IX, and that includes providing them with safe access to bathrooms and locker rooms.
Tim Kelly.
Providing access for a bathroom for them, not open it up to the wider population. This is accommodating, again, this is what several people just don't understand. Why we accommodate small percentages of people to the detriment of the larger populace.
We have the opinion that all kids, regardless of their gender identity and sexual orientation, deserve a safe educational environment, and there is no negative impact on
this
the other
less,
kids.
Well,
so I think, yes, even the smallest 1% of students in Michigan deserve to go to school.
Yes, they do deserve to go to school. Yes, they do deserve to be safe. But they also need to conform to what's currently the mores of the national body. This to suggest that this might be something that we all take for granted 20 years from now, 10 years from now. But I'm telling you, it's not there now, and you need to lightly step into this. And not just force it on people, especially to keep parents in the dark about, you mentioned earlier about somebody coming in and saying, well, call me Steph today. I think that's something that a parent ought to be apprised of at home.
You do hear, Steph, you do hear skeptics and critics of this maintain that there is a tail wagging the dog kind of dynamic in play here. And Tim Kelly is making that point as well. How do you navigate that?
Well, obviously the ideal is for parents to be involved in their children's lives. Look, I'm a parent. I get that. And certainly for something as significant as like our basic sexuality, our gender identity, these are big issues that kids are wrestling with. And we all hope that's something that kids feel safe enough to be able to share with their parents. But unfortunately, it's not always the case. Unfortunately, for some kids, their home isn't safe. And so for those kids, the schools have to offer some sort of safe harbor. You know, children need, there are basically three institutions that children rely on to be safe: their home, their schools, and their faith community. And if they're not accepted by any three of those core institutions, then they have really bad health outcomes.
Tim Kelly, let me ask you this. I mean, you asked earlier of Steph for, where's your data? Where's the studies? Where is that?
Yeah.
There, I mean, the Board of Education does point to data from Michigan youth risk behavior that shows, as Stephanie pointed out, LGBTQ students are too.
Well, this is a self-reported study, one small sampling. Again, I mean, there's not a body of work. We're talking about thousands of years that we're talking about on the other side of this, and you're talking about a small sampling of self-reported stuff and largely in some environments and schools where this is encouraged of the kids to do. To explore their sexuality, not to be taken for granted, whatever body part they came with, and this is something that ought to be taken care of in the home. I understand that there's some families that would for some kids that are afraid to come out or that in fear of retribution of their parents. I get that, but at the same time, there's. When you're talking about first, second, third, fourth graders who aren't sure about any of all this, and to encourage the free association, like I said, a social petri dish in schools, just an absolute wrong thing to go.
Let me follow up here. I got to wrap up, and I'll wrap up with you, Tim Kelly. Representative Potvin pushed to eliminate the Board of Education's travel budget. A House Appropriations Subcommittee last Wednesday did just that in an amendment to a budget bill, but that was before the board announced that it was extending the public comment period. Do you still feel like that's warranted?
Yes, I was on the committee that I was one of the votes that voted for that, and I think it's a signal to the board to rethink what they're doing here. And by the way, I don't think they would have extended the comment period had Speaker Cotter not raised this to a public outcry. This is all in reaction to the Republicans being upset that the board was doing something that's kind of in the dark of night. And I think that rightly so, they've extended the comment period. Like I said, they're going to get an earful, and I think they're going to adjust their thinking on this.
Well, Stephanie, as Tim's had the floor here for a while, we'll give you 30 seconds here.
I just want to thank the School Board of Education for taking the time and being so thoughtful to draw on best practices and tried and true measures from around the country that do increase children's safety and their success at schools. I think it's terrific.
We have been talking about the controversy over guidelines from the State Board of Education on how schools can support LGBTQ students. Our guests today have been State Representative Tim Kelly and Executive Director of Equality Michigan, Stephanie White. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.